And if I say, well, you know, what do you think your limitations are? People will list out 500 things. If I say, what are your strengths are? They'll list out two. So the thing that students will always tell me is, I don't have enough experience and I don't have enough hands-on ability to get hired. Because hiring people will say, we want people with experience. So what do? If I'm a HR person, I don't know what the title of most college courses means. So what do? You write an article or shoot a video for every class you took that's meaningful and valuable to you. And you say, 10 things I learned about in nutritional sciences that make me a better engineer. 10 things that all scientists should know about physics and why it would make you a better, you know, I'm totally making these up.
Right.
But you can basically do a short summary of your academic experience, because what they're looking for is, have you figured out how to translate that academic non-hands-on experience to the real world? And I tell my students this all the time, you know, UW-Madison is consistently rated as one of the top 25 public universities in the world. I said, you guys, you know how unique that is to have the ability to get in a place like this? You don't see it because you're comparing yourself with everybody else who's here who also has met the same things, the same marks to be able to get into this institution. What you have to realize is that nobody knows exactly what you've learned and what that means. So your job is to translate that. And that's volunteer experience, but I almost always start out with classroom experience. Write down the five most influential classes that you've been in and write down why they have been influential, what you learned that if somebody else in your field took this class, why it would benefit them. And it totally changes, you know, the game and the perspective, because your interview becomes with the company as they're reading your stuff. This person knows how to take different experiences and figure out, how do they apply to make me a better engineer or a better nurse or a better medical professional or a better communicator, whatever it is. And I think those are opportunities that we all have. So let's say you're a manager and you've been working in an industry for 10 years. I'd do a series of articles saying what I wished I would have known when I was starting out in this field. If I were 22, now I'm 32, this is how I would coach myself.
Let me give you another example of what I think every college student should be doing to maximize their career potential for every activity they do in school. A lot of kids go abroad for a semester, maybe an entire year. Maybe it's a volunteer thing. Maybe it's a language study thing. Maybe whatever it is. You're going abroad to a foreign country, an alien environment, an alien culture, and you literally have the opportunity to share your impressions, what you've learned. And also, guess what you're doing when you do that? You highlight the fact that, oh, I've been in China, you know, or I'm a fluent Spanish speaker who went to Castile. And you are literally demonstrating the benefits of what you can bring to a job, the features and benefits, if you will. And the reader doesn't even know that they're learning that stuff about you.
Absolutely. I wish people could see me, how big of a smile I have on my face. Because literally yesterday, I was talking to a former athlete who is from South Florida. And I am always fascinated with people who travel great distances to cold climates to play. And I said, you know how much courage it takes to leave everything behind, come to a place that's totally foreign to you, cold weather, all of these things. You should write an article about what made you have that decision, what made you go through that process, what were the hardships, how did you endure them, and what did you learn about yourself? Because what that shows to a company potentially is your ability to put yourself in an uncomfortable situation and survive in it and thrive in it. To be able to put yourself in a situation where, yes, it might be a little scary and intimidating, but you have the personal belief in yourself enough to stick something out that's going to be tough. And she looked at me like, I had never thought of that.
Well, and what you're demonstrating too is that I am a person with fortitude.
Mm-hmm.
Fortitude is an often undervalued criteria that a lot of business owners are looking for. Like, okay, we face tough challenges every day. Do you have the fortitude to get past them?
Yep.
If I say, I'm sorry, but you've got to go to a job site in Alaska for the next 6 months, am I going to be afraid of losing you? Or am I going to know you're going to go there, represent the company beautifully? And by the way, I'm grooming you for bigger and better things because you clearly understand what's valuable to this company.
Yep.
In an age where you can read every day about how millennials have no backbone or grit or fortitude, if you demonstrate that via the Absolutely. Stuff you put on LinkedIn or Facebook or your Instagram feed, whatever, that's going to get attention. But again, we're not just talking about students here. We're talking about anybody who wants to be more successful in business. You don't have to want to be the lead singer of your band.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're the writing all the songs for that band, let people know that. Let them understand that, because that gives them a handle, or what I like to call a brandle, on you that's a little bit different. So again, let's play out a scenario for adults.
Sure.
You're in a company of 150 people. They have multiple offices around the United States. They're looking for a new general manager for one of those offices, and they're looking at the tier immediately below the GM level.
Mm-hmm.
And they're looking at all the people who are like the assistants at the various offices. And most of those people are actually applying for this job.
Mm-hmm.
You have demonstrated not only can you do the job inside the company, you can handle everything from sweeping the floors to rebooting the mainframe, but you've also shown via LinkedIn per se that you've got your finger on the pulse of the industry, because you're talking about issues that are affecting the industry, that you're volunteering for charities or nonprofits that are associated with the company or near associates, call it company adjacent, that you are clearly active in not only doing, but communicating what the company is doing. I'm on the board of directors or the C-level, and I'm looking at those resumes, and everybody's capable, but this person is going out of their way to make us look a little bit better.
Mm-hmm.
I got to go with this guy because we're going to be moving into a new place, a new territory. This guy's going to get out there in a way that is complementary to our business.
Absolutely. And one of the things to think about with that, especially if you're in a field that you may be really introverted or whatever, I've had people where I've coached them up to do this where they've done it for internal company newsletters, and they've created, you know, closed groups of stuff where they summarize tips and things that they've learned and they want to share from others. And it's only inside of their organization. I know a major organization near Madison that does that, that they have these internal communication hubs where people can build their brand completely inside there. And again, this isn't about putting the spotlight on you. It's about being of value. And one thing that's I found to be very true working with a lot of different people in my time is that the more value you provide, the more you have opportunities to do different things, and it includes financial opportunities. And the other thing too, like for myself, one of my favorite military officers is a general whose name is Admiral James Stravitis. And what Admiral Stravitis did, if you ever get to listen to one of his talks, he's super interesting. He was the head of all NATO forces at one point and super learned guy. And what he did is he wanted to help train high quality officers in every branch. So he reached out to 200 other high ranking officers, generals, admirals, that type of thing. And they said, he said, if you could only recommend two or three books that everybody had to read it that was an officer under you to make them a great leader, what would they be? And so he compiled, rank ordered them, and he wrote a book called The Leader's Bookshelf, where it's a summary of the top 200 books. I believe it's 200 books. And you can do that, you know, to build your personal brand. Hey, this is a TED Talk I watched this month. Here's my quick summary of it. And here's how all of us as assistant general managers could apply what I learned in here. You know, you can become that type of asset of that person who's always willing to share what they're learning, whether it's from a book or a video, you know, so it doesn't necessarily have to even be your own thoughts. It can just be, hey, I'm super excited that I heard this. Hey, you guys should all check out this book because what I learned from it is this, you know, if you guys read it, let me know what you learn.
Well, and that's the huge conversation starter. You know, we can be in the same movie, watching it at the same time, and the second we walk out, I ask you, what was your favorite part?
Mm-hmm.
There's a likelihood that it may not be my favorite part. And then all of a sudden you're having a great conversation. Well, if you're doing that in a professional context, being that thought leader is by leading with a thought that creates a conversation of thoughts that invite people in to engage. And like, what's your favorite takeaway of this TED Talk, or, you know, whatever it is.
Yeah,
I like to use this metaphor because I think everybody gets it, or this analogy. And that is that if I invite you to my home and ask you to bring your own beer your own barbecue meat, whatever you want it to be, your own soft drinks or whatever else. But it's at my house and I provide the grill and the charcoal and the fire. Who gets credit for having a great party? You or me?
Mm-hmm.
I do. I didn't do much. I didn't pay for everything. Yep. But if it turns out to be this great party and all I did was turn on a Spotify playlist and light some charcoal briquettes, I'm getting a lot of credit for not a lot of work.
Absolutely.
So a lot of people on social media don't understand how to create that party where other people bring value to the party.
Absolutely. And one of the big things, especially if you're inside an industry, or excuse me, inside an organization where you have some staff, one of the most invaluable training tools I have found is to have those leaders. And this is when I'm saying leaders, this isn't necessarily C-suite people. This can be management, you know, it can be people who are striving to be leaders. But let's say you're a manager and you write a series of blog posts or do videos on the 5 books and 5 videos you've watched. It could even be 5 movies that you've watched that have made you a better manager. And what are the specific elements from that that have made you a better manager and have made you more successful? When somebody comes to you and it works under you, what you say is part of your homework is to go read those 10 blog posts or watch those 10 videos, because it's going to let you into my philosophy of what I'm looking for and what I expect and how I approach this job. It becomes a training manual. So not only is it something that helps you quote unquote build your brand, but what it does is it helps people understand the culture and the philosophy that are the expectations. I've actually had companies that I've worked with do this where they actually use their entire blog as their new training manual, new employee training manual. And they've picked out 30 posts that they have to read that help educate them. And instead of having a separate book that somebody takes home, they read the stuff on the site to help them understand what company culture is like, how they handle customer service, what they believe philosophically about how employees should be treated, what the relationship between employees and higher ranking employees are. And that is a super easy thing to do. And again, that takes me back to like when I'm working with people who are managers and are like, I either want to advance in my company, or I want to have more impact in my company, or I might want to go and get a new career with a different company. That's where I say, start compiling that the stuff where you envision, if you could go back 5 years and talk to yourself from 5 years ago with what you know now, what would be the tips and insights you would share, and make that into content, and make that into content to, again, it doesn't have to go viral. Who cares if it goes viral? It just has to hit the right people so that it has the impact that they know you, remember you, and you can either help somebody out or you can help somebody out and it helps you get a new opportunity.
This episode of the Nonfiction Brand Podcast is brought to you by Nonfiction Brandversity. It's a free Facebook group dedicated to the art and craft of personal branding, and we'd like to invite you. Just search Nonfiction Brandversity on Facebook and ask to join. You're in, guaranteed. I can't wait to see you on campus.
Well, and I think about it at multiple levels. You know, it's obvious if you're a solo entrepreneur, a solopreneur, if you will, doing this makes a lot of sense because you are your brand. If you're at a 50-person company, doing this makes a lot of sense because it could give you a leg up on any competition. If you're at a multinational company with thousands of employees, it's incredibly powerful there because you'll probably be running across opportunities that are interdisciplinary or interdepartmental, and there might be a task force on a given program and they need one member of what you do as part of that. If you have a profile in that company, don't be surprised when you get a phone call from that task force leader saying, listen, I've read your stuff for years, really smart. I want to bring you in on this team. By the way, it's got C-level profile. So how do those lucky guys and lucky gals get those incredible opportunities? They prepare for them.
Yes.
You know, what's the old saying about luck is nothing but being
opportunity
opportunity for the prepared.
Yep.
Yeah, that's exactly what it is. And I think that's the value of creating a true nonfiction brand. The other thing I wanted to say was that brand is one of those words that I constantly have to redefine, at least my definition of it, because a lot of people think brand is synonymous with logo. I believe brand is synonymous with value. Yes. Or values. My brand are my values. My brand is my value to you.
Yes.
So if you want a bumper sticker definition of nonfiction branding, it is brand equals value and values.
Yeah. What do you stand for? And being willing to, in a non-confrontational, non-negative way of I'm smarter than you if you don't believe what I believe type way. I think that's important. One of the first things I always coach my clients on is, especially when they're struggling about who their core audience is, that you could have audiences, but really who's that one that's most critical? I struggle with it, which is why I have a business coach. So I know my clients are going to go through a kind of a hard process. The very first question I ask them is, who is a horrible fit for your company?
Yeah.
And what they do then is that they kind of reverse engineer and they can list out, you know, somebody who, like for me, if a company only believes in sales, they don't care about the impact they make in their community. They don't care about how they treat their employees. They don't care about, you know, some level of impact that they're having from a green standpoint. They're not a good fit for me. It's not that they're bad people. It's not that I'm a bad person or better than them or they're better than me. It's that we're going to end up hitting points where we're just not going to be fun to work with each other because we're too different. And so the idea is, you know, list out who, you know, if somebody wants immediately to be on the first page of Google and they want all of their Facebook posts to have 5,000 likes and they want to spend $1,000 a month and they expect this to happen in 2 weeks. Pretty easy to say, no chance I'm working with you.
Well, yeah. And this reminds me of a Super Bowl a number of years ago. I guess I should call it the big game, right? A company, like a lot of companies do, bought a Super Bowl spot. Mm-hmm. They paid a lot of money for the spot just to air. They paid a lot of money to produce the spot. And when the final rankings came down on best Super Bowl spots of whatever year it was in USA Today of all places, I mean, come on, USA Today, when it comes to criticism, is kind of like the equivalent of asking your kid if the filet mignon is delicious.
I didn't like it.
But anyway, USA Today lists the top 10 Super Bowl and their ad was like number 8.
Mm.
The agency was fired because it wasn't number one. The big number one there is that no agency can guarantee you on a fickle, who did they even poll to make this list?
Yes.
You know, there's so much subjectivity to all that stuff. Any agency that says they can guarantee you the first spot is lying to you.
Yep.
Any agency that wants to be fired because we got you in the top 10 and that's not good enough?
Yep.
Boy, you want a client like that, you can have them.
Yep.
But then again, your brand might be, we want nothing but sales. I like to say there is no good brand. There is no bad brand. There's only a true brand and a false brand.
Mm-hmm.
And for instance, a lot of companies like to say, we're innovative in the technology space and world-class when we do this, that, and the other thing. And when you dig a little deeper, you realize, no, you're not innovative at all. You wait for your number one competitor to prove something mm-hmm. out. You fast follow, you come out with a cheap knockoff of it at a price point that is much lower because you don't want the people who really care about it. You want the people who are buying on price only.
Yep.
And you're a price only company.
Yep.
It's like the Academy Awards, the red carpet dresses. Mm-hmm. There are fast fashion people who will have whatever the hot new dress is 2 days later.
Mm-hmm.
And you're buying cheap fabric that looks similar, but it costs $75 instead of $7,500.
Yep. Yep.
If that's who you are, be honest about it.
Yep.
Because you will have an audience.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And that's the whole thing is, you know, when you get clear on what you want to do, whether you're trying to build your profile within an organization or trying to build it, you're getting out of college to try to find your next step, or you're going through a life change and you're looking for a new career, you really have to sit down and think about that. And you don't have to have I used to say you had to have a crystal clear answer, and I don't buy that anymore. I think you have to know a direction you're going. Like, for example, if I said, well, I really want to move, and I say, I'm not really into the ocean, but man, I love the mountains and I love snow-capped peaks. Now I at least know I can go west and explore some states, and I'm not going to go all the way to the Pacific and I'm not going to go to the Atlantic. So I don't have to have this, because I think sometimes when people think about building their brands, they think they have to have this crystal clear vision and know their why. And I used to push that completely. I think you have to know why you want to do something, but you have to also give yourself opportunity to figure out how to do it. How do you get there? If you would have told me that when I left a military academy and ended up becoming a faculty member at a University of Wisconsin, I would get a ton of fulfillment out of that in the same way I thought I would get out of being a military aviator, I would have thought you were nuts. But I've learned as I've matured that what I wanted to get out of the first experience, I now am able to get out of multiple different experiences. So too, you start to realize that there's different ways to execute, but you have to know what's of purpose and what's of value to you so you can communicate that out. And again, if somebody doesn't like what it is, that's fine. They're not in your tribe. They're not in your community. Send them good wishes and send them off on their own, but let them know, this is who I am. This is what I stand for. And a lot of times, again, when you're being the intrapreneur, you can say, I'm the person in the company who wants to make our company better by learning and sharing out what I'm learning so that everybody in the company can follow my stuff and we can all rise together. You're going to get rewarded for that somehow, some way in the end. And I think, you know, just it can be as simple as that.
Well, I want to remind our listeners, I'm talking with Don Stanley, who's an instructor in the Life Sciences Communication Department at the University of Wisconsin-Madison. And I want to call back to a previous episode that we did together where you mentioned Kevin Kelly's article, 1,000 True Fans. Especially in the context of what we're talking about. Because again, nonfiction branding or personal branding does not have to be, hey, I'm famous.
Yes.
It could be that you're trying to build 1,000 true fans within a company of 50,000 employees. Yep. Yep. I see that happen a lot with American Family Insurance in Madison, Wisconsin. The CEO of the company is really active on Twitter.
Yeah, he's awesome.
And why is that? Because he realizes that's where people are engaging with all sorts of things, including questions about insurance or what's going on, what's affecting things and all that stuff. He's going where the people are.
Mm-hmm.
And they've got a great internal employee advocacy program that's running
Absolutely.
As well. So that's an example of what you're calling this kind of intrapreneur in action in a really strong way. So again, this whole podcast episode was about one very important thing, and that is creating a personal brand is not just for the digitally literate, fast-fingered 24-year-old. It's for anybody in business who wants to succeed and has a specific goal in mind. It may be, I want to be world famous in my sector. It might be, I want the company, the entire company, to know my name so that they will select me to be on special projects or keep me in mind when the next promotion comes up. Or it could be, I want to build value so that people don't, when sometimes we have downturns, when the layoff list comes out and the people who don't know everybody in the company, they go down the list and say, oh, you can't get rid of Mark because I read his stuff all the time. So these other unknown anonymous people, take one of those, but keep Mark. Why? Because I read his little newsletter articles and find them interesting.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I think that's a big thing. Even if it turns out where you were the person let go, for example, guess what? If anybody at another company is reading your stuff, who's going to stand out as somebody who's interesting to hire?
Well, I will give you a personally known example that just happened this past week. A very close friend of mine, I'm not going to mention her name, but she listens to this, so she'll know I'm talking about her. She posts on LinkedIn a very well done video of, hey guys, I just got laid off. And it's not because I was a bad worker, and it wasn't because of this, and blah, 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 blah. I'm looking for opportunities, so I would like to ask you, one, if you have any ideas, please let me know. But I also want to ask you a question about, have you ever had this challenge?
Mm-hmm.
What did you do to overcome it? Because frankly, I don't know what to do right now, or some variation thereof.
Yeah.
And boom, anybody who considered her an acquaintance was like chiming in with good wishes.
Yes.
But a lot of them were saying, hey, I know someone who needs a, or have you met so-and-so? Let me make the connection. Yep. Or by the way, here, let me, I'm a professional resume writer. Why don't you send me your resume and let me just take a pass at it?
Yeah.
You know, people were coming out of the woodwork.
Yep.
Because this person was not afraid to share their true situation an authentic way.
Absolutely.
That is the power of this and the wonderful community that's been created.
I 100% agree in it.
Hey, Don, I'm going to put you on the spot because you're probably aware of more books that are coming out by thought leaders kind of in this area. Are there any ones that you're really looking at or you're reading right now that you'd like to recommend?
What I tend to do is I tend to listen to a lot of interviews of people in addition to their book, because I find a lot of nuggets that pop out in those interviews of what they're doing, why they do it, how they do it. One that I think is well worth looking into is a gentleman whose name is Dan Miller. And Dan is famous for working with people who are in career changes and career transitions. I know he changed the name of the book, but I don't remember to what. It was either 48 Days to the Work You Love or No More Mondays. And what I like about that is it's not so much a tactical book, although there are tactics in it as far as getting to know what it is that you actually want versus just building a personal brand. But what I really, really like about it is that it helps you to think about what questions you need to be thinking about to know that you're moving in a direction that's going to be of value and meaning to you. He's a great, great guy. I've got to hang out with him at a couple of events. Really have a lot of respect for him. So he's not a huge well-known name, but his work is really, really, really good. He's close personal friends with people like Pat Flynn and folks like that. So he's kind of, you know, next level from those guys, but yeah, definitely would recommend him.
Yeah. I'm just looking this up and that's Dan Miller, his book, New York Times bestseller book, 48 Days to the Work You Love. And another one called No More Dreaded Mondays. Yeah. And another one called Wisdom Meets Passion. Oh, well, I got to check that out because I'm frankly not aware of Dan Miller, but he's also got a podcast.
Yep.
So
yep.
Anybody who likes to what Neen James calls full time.
Yeah.
There's nothing better than sitting outside a swim meet waiting for your kid than plugging in and getting some great information. And so
the last caveat I will add to that. So Dan is friends with another gentleman who has a top 10 syndicated radio show. I actually think it's a top 5 syndicated radio show in the entire United States. This guy is really well known. He covers and talks about finances. And Dan is, so this guy is really gregarious, willing to speak his mind, you know, just, and Dan is this super zen, super quiet from a Mennonite background, and both of them are equally successful. So I like pointing to Dan too, because he is not somebody who likes to have the spotlight on him. He is not, he just wants to help people. So his podcast he loves doing because he answers questions that people send in, but he doesn't have to be live on camera. He's great in person. He's really good in person, but it's not comfortable for him. So it's really cool too, for people who are more introverted to see what he's done and the impact that he has. And while he might not have a top 5 syndicated radio show, I know he has changed literally hundreds of thousands of lives for the better by really looking at and digging into what meaningful work is about and how that fits into a complete life.
Well, I think that's a great place to close this episode off, especially given the fact that we are talking about social media, personal branding, nonfiction branding like this. You don't have to be a visual superstar that everyone knows to be successful doing it. So if I'm hearing you correctly, I'm definitely going to check out this myself. If you're one of those people who says, I'm an introvert, I can't do this, this is not for me, you should definitely check out the Dan Miller podcast at, let me see,
I
what
believe
is
it's
URL.
48 Days to the Work You Love, or 48days.com is his website.
That's right, 48days.com.
Number 4, number 8, days.com. And again, having had the chance to interact with him multiple times on a professional level, but also having been invited to, when I was in Nashville, he lives near Nashville, to just pop out to his house because it's a cool, cool place. Just a great guy, just a great, great human being doing really cool work and doing really well financially too.
Well, personal branding is not just for the 22-year-old coming out of college. It's for everybody who really wants to achieve something in their life, with their career, with their family, with their lifestyle. So take advantage of it. I'm going to close out this episode by saying thank you for listening. And I am DP Knutton, and he is
Don Stanley.
I want to remind you to join Nonfiction Brandversity, the free Facebook group. All you have to do is look it up, ask to join, and you're in. I'm DP. I'll talk to you next time. Bye-bye.